and tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good friend and partner on this program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. Also here with us is our great standby, Frank Briscoe, who is the gospel preacher for Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas, and he'll be running our boards and our phones tonight, and we'll jump in with some sage advice from time to time when we need a scripture looked up and stuff like that. Well, Frank is always there for us. We have a good program for you tonight. We're going to continue what we started last week. Last week we looked at the biblical model of motherhood. Based on the fact that we just gotten through with Mother's Day, and we feel that in our nation, for some reason or another, we have lost the proper biblical model of the idea of motherhood, and we wanted to give you the biblical outlook of this. And the objective of the program is to show the biblical model of motherhood versus the worldly concept of motherhood. The worldly concept is something that has infiltrated parenthood and motherhood especially, and we want to see what the biblical outlook is. Now, there's a couple of scriptures that I'd like to remind you of before we ever start, and one of them is found in Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, which says, "For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself." And what that means is that what you and I do in this lifetime is going to have an effect on somebody. And if you are a mother, you are going to have a tremendous effect on your children. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 tells us, in a biblical way, raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, last week we started a study in contrast. We looked at the worldly mother versus the godly mother, and one of the women that we used as the worldly mother, we could have picked out several. We used Jezebel and then her daughter Athaliah, and we placed them up against Hannah and her son Samuel. And we barely did get through or get started with Hannah, but we want to assure you that the biblical model of motherhood, Hannah, is going to be the topic of our conversation today. We're going to review a little bit just about Jezebel, just to remind you of what a worldly mother is like, and then you can base that and place it alongside the worldly mothers that you may know in this world today that are a terrible influence for their own children. But before we get into it, I'm going to turn this over to Tom and allow him to tell you from whence we do broadcast tonight.
We're broadcasting tonight from KOME 95.3 FM out of Glen Rose, covering the Hamilton area all the way up to I-20 in Fort Worth. We're also airing on KATX 97.7 Eastland, out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo, KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, and also KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also broadcasting on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. And if you're listening on the GospelRadioNetwork.org, or if you would like to just simply get involved with the discussion via internet, there's a chat room going on. If you'll go to the Gospel Radio Network, you can sign up and get involved in the chat room. We want to remind you that also this program is going to be rebroadcast Tuesday at 6 a.m. right here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. Our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now, we want to remind you that this is a live call-in program, and the number to call if you would like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And for those of you who do not have letters on your phone, the numbers are 1-855-722-4253. That's 855-722-4253. We also want to remind you that we're on Facebook, and we would love for you, encourage you to like us on Facebook. Also, on our webpage at harrisonmoore.org, there is a podcast that's available to you. If you'll go to the opening page, the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see an RSS feed. Click that, follow the instructions, and you will be signed up to receive podcasts. And every time a new podcast comes available, you will be contacted. Now, there's also an email address that you can contact us through, questions@harrisonmoore.org. That's questions@harrisonmoore.org. That will go to David's inbox as well as my inbox. Again, the number to call, 1-855-QA-BIBLE or 1-855-722-4253. Yes, last week we began talking about a contrast. A contrast between a worldly mother and also a spiritual godly mother. And we were using the example of Jezebel versus Hannah. As David mentioned a moment ago, Romans 14 and verse 7, in essence it says, no man is an island. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just be out there by yourself and not have an effect on other people. And I don't care if you're a mother or just a person, you're always going to have an effect on someone. But how much of an effect is a mother going to have on their children? You know, that I don't think sometimes parents realize, and tonight we're talking about mothers, just how great an impact they're going to have on their children for either bad or for good.
Amen. And this is what we're going to see as we go through here. This study in contrast, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about here, this Jezebel in 1 Kings chapter 21. I just want to read a couple of verses here. Verse number 7. Jezebel is the wife of Ahab. And in this particular context, Ahab is... He's disheartened because he cannot buy this grape vineyard from his neighbor, a friend by the name of Naboth, and he's moping around the house. And so Jezebel, his wife, said unto him in verse 7, do you now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be merry. I'll give you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and unto the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you did blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. Now, this is the kind of woman we're dealing with here. Now, this woman had children, and one of the children that she had was a young lady by the name of Athaliah. But before we even get to Athaliah, notice what she did to her husband, Tom, in verse 25. She incited her husband to be more evil than he actually was.
And that's not only a bad mother, it's a bad wife as well.
Horrible.
And you know what's sad, David, is that the daughters of a mother like that can see what evil she does, and then that just boils right over into the kind of wife and the kind of mother that they are. And we know this is the case because the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 44 and 45, it says, "Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art the daughter of thy mother." And David, how many times have we seen that over the years? You know, you hear phrases like, "Well, she's a," or say something like, "they're a chip off the old block," or mm-hmm. "an acre didn't fall far from the tree." All that mentality, all that saying, carries the same idea as what's said right here.
Right.
Jezebel was a very wicked woman, and there's no surprise that Athaliah, her daughter, would also turn out to be as wicked as she was, if not more wicked.
I think she trumped her mama. I believe she was more wicked than even her own mother. She married a fellow by the name of Jehoram. And Jehoram was also a king of Judah, and he walked in the way of the evil kings of Israel. And he also killed his brothers. And we see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 through 6. But you wonder why, Tom. Why did he do something like that? Who encouraged this king to kill his brothers? And when we read about it, we find out that it was Athaliah herself. And what she's trying to do is eliminate every bit of competition that there may be for the throne, because she intends to take every bit of it herself.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep looking at Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, where it says, none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. The influence and the power of influence cannot be underestimated. It is a tremendous thing. And when we're talking about motherhood, that influential person to her children is just going to be astronomical in its in the power and the influence that it has.
Exactly right. And when we're talking about Hannah, which is the reverse of what we have with regard to Jezebel. Jezebel was a horrible mother, horrible wife, but then we come to the woman, Hannah. You know, David, one thing that's pretty interesting to me about all this, and you and I have talked about this before, you know, and back in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, it says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." You'll say, "Well, what in the world does that have to do with what y'all are talking about tonight?" Well, every Hebrew woman who was to become a mother, they didn't know if it was their child who might be the prophet that Moses was speaking of here. And so knowing that's the case, then they're going to give, or should give, extra concern in the raising up of their child. Well, Dave, when we think about that today, and the parents raising up, and tonight we're talking about mothers raising up their children, do they not also need to take concern in raising up of their children, because they do not know what they might turn out to be for the benefit of the kingdom, for the benefit of our country? You might be raising a next preacher, a next elder, maybe even a president of the United States. You don't know what you're raising. How are you going to be raising them up?
Well, and that is so true. And if these Hebrew women were concerned that I may be carrying the prophet, the Christ, that Moses is talking about, or I may be carrying another prophet, such as did Hannah. She didn't know that she was carrying a prophet in her womb, mm-hmm. but it turns out to be a prophet. Now, this has, and I want to take just a small detour here. We've had several programs on on this abortion, which is nothing more than murder. And when a mother has decided to murder that child based upon the information that she has from people like Cecile Richards and Barbara Boxer and the people of their ilk, saying that this is your body, you can do with it what you will, and you're not going to hurt anybody but yourself. That's not true. You're looking at the future generation of maybe, like you said just a moment ago, a president of the United States, a preacher, an elder, somebody that could save spiritual lives for the next 50 or 60 years, mm-hmm. and you put it all to rest by choosing to murder the child in the womb.
So, you know, it's important then for mothers to realize the importance of what they're about to do.
Mm-hmm.
In the raising of their children, whether or not to murder them or not. You know, that's a kind of a strange decision for a woman to make. Do I murder my child or not? You know, I don't believe anybody in their right spiritual mind is going to be wanting to do something like that.
No.
But there are a lot of mothers out there who claim to be spiritual, who are not raising up their children like the woman Hannah. Well, what is it that made Hannah so much different than a woman like Jezebel? Is it not the character of the woman that determines the kind of mother that they're going to be?
Well, there is absolutely no doubt that she had a spiritual affinity for God. Mm-hmm. And she was a spiritual woman. She was a woman that believed and lived her belief in her life, believed in God. And when she was praying to the Lord in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, part of her prayer was this: there is none, it's in verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Well, when you have that opinion of God, the fact that He is your rock, the fact that God is holy, the fact is there is no other God on the face of this earth or in heaven either that can stand beside God. Mm-hmm. When you have that concept and that belief, then you're going to be guided by the word and the will of God.
Exactly. And is it not true that Romans 10 verse 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God?
Amen.
And so if a man or a woman, in this case woman, a mother, is going to have the kind of faith that's going to allow her to be a good mother, then the word of God has to be associated with that. And when we look at Hannah, not only do we see that she was a woman of great faith, but she was also a woman of prayer. You'll see in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 7, or 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10, that she prayed unto Jehovah and she wept sore. She would pour out her heart to God. And in verse 15 of chapter 1, 1 Samuel, she was also one who would pour out her soul before God. You know, David, being a mother is a very serious business.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very difficult business at times, and mothers need help. Hannah realized this, and so she was a woman of prayer. She would pray to God. You know, just like you need God's word to have the proper faith, you know, how far will God's praying to God go in the aiding of a mother to make the right decisions, to be the kind of woman she ought to be? Prayer is important. You know, James 5:19, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Wouldn't it also be true the prayer of a righteous woman availeth much?
No doubt about it. And one of the sad things about it, and all of you mothers, all of you fathers, all of you parents really need to pay attention to this. Prayer may be one of the most unused privileges that God has afforded us with, because it is there. It is our mode of communication. This is how we talk to God. That God speaks to us through His Word, but this is how we talk to God. And when we do it the way that God wants us to do it, well, there's going to be There's going to be answers to those prayers. Now, it may not be quite the answer that you're looking for, but God knows how to answer prayers. We don't need to tell him how we need him to answer our prayer.
We just give
him our pleadings, our supplications, our thanksgivings through the prayer, and then allow him to work his work.
And, you know, if we really have the kind of faith that we should have, faith like Hannah, then we're going to accept what God decrees with regard to our prayer life. But one of the things that's interesting to me, David, about Hannah and the kind of character that she had and the kind of character that made her the mother that she was that she did not retaliate when provoked. Here we have another woman there in her family that made fun of her and ridiculed her because she could not have child. She didn't retaliate. She just took it and went on her way. How many times, David, have you seen children who act just like their mothers? Sometimes, you know, you go down the street and a woman will be yelling at you for some kind of driving episode that takes place. Or in the store, they're yelling at something, bawling somebody out. They're showing that anger, retaliation, and there's a kid in the back seat going, "Hi," doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're learning that type of mentality from their parents. But when you see a woman who is forgiving, who is not retaliatory, then you're going to have children more than likely who are going to be the same way.
Amen. There's another part of her godliness and the character that made her what she was her moral purity. And this is something that we are sorely, sorely lacking in this country in which we live right now, because a woman without moral purity is going to be rearing up these children in some immoral situations. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem to bother a lot of people today as it may have once done 40, 50 years ago. You got women and men shacking up all over the country here and calling that good, and now they're having children out of wedlock. The kids don't even know who they belong to in some instances. In some instances, the mother may have three or four or even five different sires, if you will, of her children, mm-hmm. and they don't even know who their father is, and they're raised up in this immoral environment. And now the godly concept here is Hannah, mm-hmm. and the moral purity that she shows. Now, what we're trying to do here is trying to close the gate before the cows get out.
Exactly right.
Instead of closing the gate after they've already left the pen.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have is we've got several generations of women who were strolled down the immoral, impure lifestyle, and now they have become mothers, and now they're thinking to themselves, "Man, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I had have behaved the way the Bible has always required women and men to behave. I wish I had behaved that way, and that way I could be a better example to this beautiful, wonderful blessing of a child that I now have, that child won't have to find out some of the things that I've done in my life, and I have to unexplain some of the things that went on in my life." And so we're trying to look at the biblical concept so that we can stop the influx of this immorality, but it's hard to do in the society we live, especially with the leadership that we have that is encouraging all the immorality to take place in our nation, Tom.
And I know, and then we have mothers who are going along right along with it.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's important for mothers to exemplify to their sons and to their daughters what biblical morality is all about. I think mm-hmm. there are a lot of people who think they're living moral lives, but they are not according to what God's word says. But she was a one of great spiritual morals as the Bible would set forth. But David, one of the things that really stands out to me with regard to Hannah and her motherhood is that she dedicated her son to the Lord, as is clearly seen in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 11. and 1 Samuel 27 and verse 28. She was a woman. You know, there are a lot of mothers and parents out there who are more concerned with their kids being a great baseball player or having great academic scores in school or being the cheerleader or being popular in some way. But that's not what makes a great mother. What makes a great mother is making sure their children are raised up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what makes a man great. And we're going to talk about later today about a man by the name of Amos. He was not your great hero, as some men would count it, but he was great because he was a man of God. Every mother can make their children great because they are children of God. That's what's important.
You couldn't have said it any better. When women and men, when parents, and of course we're focused on motherhood tonight. You know, we're not saying that the father is totally irresponsible in this setting, but we're focusing on motherhood. And one of the reasons that we're focusing on motherhood is we just got through having Mother's Day. You know, Father's Day will come along soon enough, but Mother's Day. And for this reason, we came up with this idea for a program. We just didn't get through with it all last week. And so we're focusing on the mother. So all of you mothers out there, don't think that that the fathers are getting a free ride here, because they're also just as responsible and just as influential as you mothers are. But motherhood is something that is very, very special. And the immorality that has consumed this nation has really, really affected motherhood, even after motherhood takes place in many, many instances. We did a little checking last week, and we found that we read the statistics on the percentages of virgins in America. Now, there are people, when you talk about virgins today, Tom, they just scoff at the idea that somebody would be a virgin at 18, 20,
you're
or 25.
You're made fun of in the locker room if you're still a virgin at 15 years
absolutely.
Old or whatever.
And the stats tell us that only 11% of unmarried adults in the United States of America are virgins. That is absolutely unbelievable. 11%. That means that 89% of individuals in the United States of America, unmarried, are not virgins.
And that's a very sad situation. That points to immorality in the home. It shows mothers aren't concerned about dedicating their son or daughters to the Lord. It shows that they're not really nurturing or helping them to grow up in the right way. You know, a lot of, again, I keep getting back to our many parents are more concerned about good grades, about being a star in some sporting event, or perhaps being a good in band or something, and having the best clothes. They're forgetting about what's important by not living moral lives, by not willing to dedicate them to the Lord, and by not really nurturing them, helping them to grow in the Lord. They are really not good parents when they're forgetting what's really important. And that's helping them to get to heaven.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what it's all about. You know, how long are you going to be a great baseball player? Well, not very long. You know, and what's really important is eternity. And I think that's what a lot of parents forget about. But I think we have a woman here by the name of Hannah who was fulfilling that godly role of raising up her child in such a way that they would know the way to heaven.
Well, you know, we're going to take somebody with us, Tom, because of the power of our influence. And we don't know who it's going to be. But if you go to heaven or if you go to hell, you're going to take somebody with you by the power of your influence. And I can remember a story that I read not too long ago about this man that had a conversation with his son when he graduated from high school. And he says, son, tell me what you're going to do now. He said, well, I'm going to go to college. He said, and then what? He said, well, then I'll probably get married. He said, and then what? He said, well, we'll have some children. And then what? He said, well, we'll put them through school. And then what? He said, well, I'll probably retire from my job and we'll get us a travel trailer and we'll just travel all over the country. And then what? And then I guess we'll just retire and stay home and grow old together. And then what? He said, well, I hadn't thought about that.
And that's the then what that's most important, isn't it?
You're going to die. We're all going to die. Mm-hmm. And the big question then is this, and then what?
Mm-hmm.
And then what? And so we're going to take somebody with us. And the power of influence cannot be over or underestimated either way. You cannot underestimate the power of influence. But Hannah here did not underestimate the power of her influence. And Hannah here is the one that raised up her son Samuel and dedicated him to the Lord at a very, very early age. And this is going to make a difference in Samuel's life for the rest of his life.
Exactly. And when you compare what Jezebel did with Athaliah and what Hannah did with Samuel, the contrast is remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the life of her son Samuel. We see the powerful influence that she had in Samuel's life. And then we see the powerful power of influence that we see in the life of Samuel in his dealings. We remember there in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 10, that he had the mentality of one who would listen to God. God was talking, and Samuel says, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Where do you think he got the notion and the idea of the willingness and the readiness to listen to the Word of God?
Well, he was influenced by some very, very godly people, including his mother, Hannah. She had a tremendous influence on this boy. And when he was growing up, the influence that she had upon him was great. Now, Tom, I think one of the great mistakes that a lot of people make today in parenthood and motherhood especially, I'm going to wait till my kids get 14, 15 years old before I teach them about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to let them make up their own mind. And when they get 14, 15 years old, I'll teach them about the Lord. Well, you waited way too long for that to ever happen.
Exactly.
It's just not going to happen.
And then you hear parents say, well, I'm not going to make my child go to heaven to church, because if I do, when they get older, they're not going to want to do it. You know, that's about the dumbest argument I've ever heard, because parents make their kids do a lot of things.
Go to school.
They make them go to school, brush your teeth, take a bath. Just because you were made to take a bath and brush your teeth as a child, does that mean you're going to rebel and say, I am not going to bathe, I am not going to brush my teeth because my mother made me? That is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that is the example that some mothers set forth. Well, that was not Hannah's way.
No, it was not.
That Hannah, is not the God way.
Hannah was very, very, very influential in her dedicating this boy, Samuel, to God. Now, Samuel ends up being respected and recognized by the people as a man of God. And we see this in chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. How did that happen? Yeah, that was no accident. You know, you don't become a Christian by accident. You certainly don't become a prophet by accident.
Exactly. And so we see there the power of a motherly influence.
Yes.
A godly motherly influence. Well, you know, you remember we talked about a moment ago how that one of the characteristics of Hannah was that she was a woman of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Is it any wonder then that also we find that Samuel was also a man of prayer? You'll notice in 1 Samuel 12 in verse 23, speaking of Samuel, it says, For as me, far be it from me that I should sin against Jehovah in ceasing to pray for you but I will instruct you in the good and in the right way. Here is a man who was involved in praying for the people. He was a man who was involved in teaching the people. And where did he learn this? It came, first of all, from his mother.
Right.
You know, before a child can learn to respect the authority of God, what is the very first thing they have to learn? To respect the authority of their parents. Mm-hmm. That's where it begins. If a child does not respect and does not obey his parents, what makes you think they will ever respect and obey the God of heaven?
Well, if you reject authority in one sense, in one aspect of your life, you're going to reject authority in other aspects mm-hmm. of your life. And this is the reason that we are told in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right according to God. You obey them in the Lord, and those things that are right according to the Lord, children, you obey those parents. Because if you can't obey, as you said just a moment ago, if you can't obey your parents, you're not going to obey God.
Exactly.
And then the parents have their part there too. Said, mm-hmm. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord there. Mm-hmm. In Ephesians chapter 6, again, verses 1 and 2. And so the parents have a responsibility. And then the children have the responsibility to be obedient to that, and that carries right on into their spiritual life and their relationship with God.
Exactly right. And one of the things, David, that was very interesting to me regarding Samuel is that he was the one who stood in the breach between what was good and evil. He stood his ground as a prophet of God. You got that passage there?
I do. First Samuel 13, verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly." Now, he's talking to a king.
Yeah.
He's talking to a man that has a lot of authority, the authority to kill him if he wants to. He said, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for now would the Lord have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God." Nobody wants to hear something like that. "You have sinned, Saul, sinned and transgressed the law of God, and he's angry at you now." And nobody wants to hear that kind of thing.
Exactly right. But he's willing to stand up.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and where did he learn that? Well, do you remember that Hannah stood up to a prophet mm-hmm. who was accusing her of doing something that was wrong, but she was not? She stood up, stood her ground. He learned that from his mother, at least partly so from his mother.
Yes.
And we need more mothers who will be willing to stand their ground. And we're going to talk more about that in just a little bit. But we need mothers who are bold, who will stand in the gap and be strong and teach their children to be that way also regarding spiritual matters.
Well, you know, there could be no prouder moment in a child's life than to watch his mother take a stand for good and for God.
Mm-hmm.
And can't you just see this child? That is my mama.
Yeah.
Right there. That's her. And I can give you a lot of illustrations, where some young men that I went to school with would not point to their mama and say, "That is my mama."
Yeah, a lot of them
they were ashamed mm-hmm. and embarrassed of what their mama was doing, and their mama didn't care.
Yeah,
their mama didn't care.
Yeah, and then you get the other side where you are just proud and you're willing even to let your mama kiss you in public. You know, because you were proud of her and mm-hmm. you knew the kind of woman that she was and you wanted people to know that she was your mother.
Every mother should desire that their child would be especially proud to have them mm-hmm. as their mother.
I know that I was proud of my mother. And I was proud that she was my mother. But there are a lot of people out there in the world who do not have that kind of mother.
No.
We need more godly mothers who will lead their children in the ways of the Lord. Now, we have gone a long time and have not even mentioned the phone. Well, sometimes we get going and we just forget.
It's
but the
your
number
fault,
to call, well, you know, I've got big shoulders. I'll take the blame. The number to call, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. The numbers are 1-855-722-4253. That's 722-4253. We'd love for you to call in, give us a question or a comment, and we would love to give you a Bible answer. David, when we look at Athaliah,
that'd be the daughter of Jezebel.
Mm-hmm, and Samuel.
The daughter of Hannah, or the son of Hannah.
Okay. And then look at the character of their mothers, which would have been Jezebel and Hannah. It is easy to understand and explain the differences between Athaliah and Samuel, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And the differences are just night and day.
They are exactly that. Well, David, you know, there's no saying that says the hand that rocks the cradle makes the difference. David, when we think about the importance of motherhood, I think sometimes that our mothers today don't realize how important their job is and the influence for good that they can have, not only for the kingdom, but also for our nation. What mother of a two-year-old would ever say, I can make a big impact on our nation?
Well, yeah, that one of the things that these mothers are having to put up with, we are living in a society that every single day grows more immoral, more wicked, more vile, if you will, because of the representatives that we have elected that are making laws that make it nearly impossible to parent a child in the way that God would want you to have want it done. And really, government is trying to take over the rearing of our children, and that is a mama's job. That is a father's job. It is not the government's job. We don't need the government to tell us how to raise our children.
No.
And yet we have laws that have been passed that are just absolutely encouraging the immorality and the evil and the vileness to take a hold in. And one of these things happened last week when the president of the United States gave us an edict that every school in the United States of America was going to allow the men to use the boys to use the girls' bathroom and the girls use the boys' bathroom if that's where they felt more comfortable, or we're going to shut off your federal funds.
Now, let me just ask you, here's a high school boy who has hormones going crazy, and he says, you know what? If I will just say I'm a girl, then I can go in the girls' locker room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just opening Pandora's box. We're opening the floodgate to immorality by that. And the reason that we're bringing this up today is because mothers need to stand up and say, no, this is not going to happen. I promise that if every mother across the United States stood up and says, this is not happening at our school, it will not happen.
Well, that's true. And a lot of mothers are caught in a quandary here, and they say, well, who am I? I'm just a mother. As far as everybody else is concerned, I'm a nobody.
I just got a high school education.
Yeah,
I'm just a homemaker.
Yeah, who am I to speak against a representative, a congressman, or a senator, or who am I to speak up and speak out against what the president of the United States may or may not do? Well, we have a tremendous illustration in our Bibles about a man who was considered to be a nobody that stood up to the political elite of his day. He stood up against the establishment, and he did it and was able to be very successful at it because of one thing, and it was the standard of right according to God.
Exactly. So here we have a man by the name of Amos.
Amos.
A man by the name of Amos who was a sheep herder. He was a man who was involved in the picking of sycamore fruit. In Amos chapter 1 and verse 1, it says that he was a herdsman of Tekoa. You'll look over in Amos chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Then Amos said to Amaziah, I am no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees." And we'll talk about verse 15 in a minute.
Yes.
But he says here, I'm just an average guy. Here's a man who is a rancher, a picker of fruit, and here's a man that God sends to stand before the king of Israel. How diametrically opposed to those are they in significance in the eyes of the world, and yet he stood up and he made a difference.
Oh, he made a tremendous difference.
And when we make that parallel to mothers, you might say, I'm just a mother. How can I stand up against the king's edict? Same way Amos did.
Absolutely.
The same way.
And Amos did it with the power of God's word. Mm-hmm. That is the difference maker right there, the power of God's word. You see, this put him on equal ground with any and everybody. As a matter of fact, it put him above any and everybody because he had the word of God with him, and the other folks, they didn't have anything going for them except what they thought was right at the particular time. And when we get to chapter 5, we're going to see what they thought was right, because to the leaders of Israel, and by the way, there's one more strike against Amos before he ever starts. Amos was a resident of Judah, and he was sent by God to prophesy in Israel.
You're from the other side of the track.
You are from the other side.
We don't
want
to listen to you.
Exactly.
So he was in an uphill battle, wasn't he?
Yes. You know, and at that particular time, Judah, as opposed to Israel, Judah was conservative and Israel about as liberal as you could get out there. And they sent a conservative up there to tell the liberals how to live.
Yeah. You know? And here we have a conservative that's a no count in their sight. You know,
yes.
He does not have the academia that we have and all that.
He's a sheep herder, for crying out loud.
Frank?
You know, God, again, in one of the prophets, tells the prophets how they're able to accomplish that which he sent them to do. In the book of Zechariah, 4th chapter and 6th verse, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of Jehovah unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Jehovah of hosts." The way that Amos, Zechariah, and the other prophets of God accomplished what they did was by the power of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that word is the most powerful thing on the face of this earth. And a lot of people don't realize that it is at their fingertips. And we get back to the question, well, who am I to stand in front of some representative with all of the credentials that they have? Who am I? I'm just a mother, for crying out loud. I'm just a mother. Mothers have power too, but the power is going to come from God's word.
Exactly right. And we see this power very clearly manifested in the words of Jeremiah speaking for the Lord. It says, "Is not my word," talking about the word of the Lord, "like fire?" What can fire do? Powerful, destroy.
Absolutely.
It's got a lot of power to it. "And like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces." We can be a powerful influence in the nation. Mothers can be a powerful influence in the nation because they have the power of God's word. Now, David, don't we see Amos as a practical illustration of what a mother of insignificance can do for the cause of good?
Amen. And here in chapter 5, before we run out of time, In chapter 5, in verse 7, to the leadership of Israel, to the leaders, he says, "You who turn judgment into wormwood." Now, wormwood was a word that was used an awful lot back then. It's a bitter substance. It's a very unpleasant experience. And so what he's telling them here says, you, leaders, you turn judgment into a very unpleasant experience. Judgment is supposed to be a good experience, but they've turned it into an unpleasant experience. And you leave off righteousness in the earth. And so there's nothing about these leaders that is right according to God. And so that would be, it would be immoral, evil, and wicked. Mm-hmm. And then the judgment was something that people hated to see come because it was never good. Exactly. It was never in their favor. It was always adulterated. It wasn't pure judgment the way that judgment is supposed to be. And then in verse 12, Tom, tell us what he told them.
He says, "For I know how manifold your transgressions are, your transgressions, and how mighty are your sins, that ye that afflict the just, that take a bribe, and that turn aside the needy and the gate from their right." You know, David, God knows what's going on. And the thing that really strikes me there in verse 12, in connection with our modern day, they that afflict the just. Mm-hmm. You know, some mothers are afraid to stand up because they're going to be afflicted, put down, punished in some way. Mm-hmm. Do you think Amos felt that way?
Well, certainly he did.
But he still realized that the higher good was worth going through the pain. You know, there are going to be mothers out there who are ridiculed by other mothers because they're standing for what is right. Kids at school, they get ridiculed because of their morality by the other kids. You know, they'll say, "Well, the cool kids are making fun of me." Who cares? You're standing up for what is right.
Well, earlier Amos said, "They hate him that speaks uprightly." The righteous are always hated by the unrighteous.
They hate me.
Yeah, hate me. But there's another passage, there's another part of verse 12 that really strikes me here. It says, "They turn aside the poor in the gate from their right." It is a mother's right to bring up her child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And it is not a good thing that the President of the United States would try to enact a law that would counteract that which is right to start with and take away her ability to even raise her own child in the way that the God would want her to raise it.
Exactly.
Because
right.
of a law.
And that's where mothers need to be in the best interest of their children spiritually, to have the strength, to have the courage to stand up and say, "This ain't happening in Hamilton, Texas. We're going to stand up against this." And you know what? If one community after community will be willing to do that, then we can make a difference, even though you're just a homemaker at home. Maybe you didn't even finish school. But you can make a difference in the eyes of God and in our country.
Well, Amos is such a great example here because, you know, we're talking about a sheep herder and a fruit picker.
Yeah.
And he's up there and he is talking face to face, nose to nose with these very influential people that actually have the authority, if they so chose to do, to kill him. You know, I mean, no one could stop them doing that. But then he tells them in verse 14 of chapter 5, he tells them, he said, "I want you to seek good and not the evil."
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, there's only one way to figure out what's good and what's evil. Let's go to God's Word. "I want you to seek the good and not evil, that you may live, and so that the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken." Here's the promise. Hate the evil, love the good, establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph or of the land of Israel.
Mm-hmm. And so it takes effort and courage on the part of mothers to be willing to stand up and seek good and not evil.
Right.
It's not going to be easy. You know, again, we're reminded of in Amos chapter 7. In verse 15,
well, we got to get this in.
He was told them what? That he was just a sheep herder. He was a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, what did God tell him to do? Jehovah took me from the following, the flock, and Jehovah said unto me, go prophesy unto my people. Do you think that God will say, well, you know, you're just no sheep herder. Let me go find somebody else to do it. Mm-hmm. No, he, even though he was a nobody in the eyes of the elite, God says you are something.
Well, in verse 13, when he went and faced this Amaziah, the king of Israel, face to face, Amaziah said unto Amos, O you seer, go. Flee away into the land of Judah, and there eat your bread, and there prophesy, but prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Get out of here and go back home. I don't want to hear you preaching or teaching anything here. You just get on out of Israel.
And what did Amos do?
Amos,
he preached it anyway, didn't he?
Yeah, he bowed up, and he says, I'm here.
And that's what mothers need to do. Now, fathers need to do this too, but tonight we're talking about mothers. Mothers need to stand up. You know, mothers can have a great more influence on our nation than they sometimes realize for good. Well, we're going to make a few comments here before we conclude. But before we do that, I want to mention our additional sponsors. We were being sponsored by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. But we also want to mention some individuals who have also contributed generously to the program. The Hansons in Weatherford, Texas. The Swigerts in the Metroplex area. The Keeters in Iredell. The Forehands in Hamilton. And also the Moores in Dripping Springs, Texas. And, you know, David, it's not only congregations, but also individuals who make this program possible and able to get to as many people as we possibly can. We want to be in Amos. We want to speak out. We want to speak the word of God. And David, with about a minute and 10 seconds, give us the final word.
Well, if a person wants to do service to the Lord, if a person wants to be able to use the word of God and have an influence on people, he first got to become a Christian. And in order to do that, he's got to hear the word of God and believe it. He's got to repent, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, he's got to be buried into that watery grave of baptism for the remission or for the forgiveness of his sins. It is there to wash away our sins in the blood of Christ. Coming up out of that water to live a life of faithfulness guided by the word of God. And right at that point, we're all going to go to heaven together. As many as will be obedient will be saved.
Exactly right. We're excited that you've been with us tonight on the program. We hope that you will continue listening in. Tell your friends about us, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we'll see you next week right here on this channel. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station. Great is thy faithfulness.